Acts chapter 7. We have been camped out here for several weeks, and we're just pulling so many truths out of this incredibly long chapter, which was really a long sermon, so to speak. And I want you to read verse 55 as we get started today. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Now, if you pray hard and listen fast, my voice won't go out. This is the first morning since Tuesday I've had a voice. Usually hits around noon, and I didn't figure y'all would want to sleep in and come at noon, so we got up early and got it going. But anyway, so listen fast. Hopefully it won't go out. Verse 55 says, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" You may be seated. Here is Stephen at the point of death. He's being murdered. He's being murdered because he did one thing. He answered the call to take care of the widows. Now, I want you to think about that. If you stay true to this text and you go back and realize what started this whole thing, was there was a group who understood, hey, as God began to save thousands, the distraction of all that was going on led to a group that needed to be cared for being overlooked. And so they got together, they prayed, and among those that were selected was Stephen. Stephen was the first one. In fact, he's the only one mentioned that is actually given attributes for why he was chosen. And in that, there's a reason. Because of what Stephen was going to be asked to do. Stephen was going to be asked to endure a difficult time. I want you to hear what I just said. Stephen was going to be asked to endure a what? If you think just because you've accepted Jesus Christ that God's not going to let you go through difficult times, you and I need to talk. All right? Because difficult times are going to come, right? How do you hold on to Jesus when those difficult times come? How do you keep your faith? How do you stay true during difficult times? Well, Stephen gives us that example. Now, I'm just going to walk you through some verses, so you're going to have to pay attention and not go to sleep, right? Everybody else wake up that didn't say right. Number one, fill in the blank. You got to remember God is personal. God is personal. There's a simple verse in this chapter, verse 48. It says, "However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men." Now, you would just read through that and say, yeah, I know, okay, God doesn't live in a house. That's important because Stephen understood that as a Christian, God takes up residence within inside of us. He lives within us. In fact, remember the Holy Spirit came. Jesus had to ascend back to heaven so the Holy Spirit would come because he was the comforter. And he would take up residence inside those who accepted Jesus as the Christ. When times get tough, you got to remember he's personal. He gets you. Now think about that. Sometimes we don't even get ourselves, do we? Have you ever done something and thought, did I just do that? Have you ever thought something and said, why did I think that? Have you ever said something and said, why did I say that? God understands us. God knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. Now, you're going to think this is trivial, and that's okay, but God gave me a clear picture of this yesterday. Actually, it was Friday. I was trying to get some stuff to help my voice. Nathan finally got me in to see the nurse practitioner yesterday. But in the meantime, I know, Lauren, I'm sorry, but I had to run by Walgreens. And lo and behold, at Walgreens, because everything was everybody and their dog was in Walgreens, I went around the outside because I hate being in a store and I hate getting caught up in traffic. Went around the outside, happened to walk by the freezer section, and guess what was in the freezer? Mint chocolate chip was back. Now, I was feeling horrible. But you know what that did? That put a smile on my face. And then it dawned on me. You know, you shouldn't eat ice cream when you're dealing with sinuses and allergy stuff. But I bought it for future use. And as I was driving home and got to the house and put it in the freezer, I was still smiling. I said, you know, I hadn't been smiling because I just didn't feel good. God gets that. Johnny calls them the God winks. God is personal. And when you and I are going through difficult times, we need to remember that. Remember, he doesn't live in houses. Yes, everything's going great up on the hill. Yes, we're going to move in when it's ready. Amen, Don? Yes, it'll be ready at some point. But God doesn't live there. God lives inside each of us who have accepted him as Lord and Savior of our life. Now you say, but I can feel God's presence in a place. Explain that one. It's real simple. That means that you're surrounded by people who are living in the reality of God living in them. Because I promise you, God's not going to inhabit this building. God's not going to inhabit that building. God inhabits us. Everything about Jesus is personal. So when it gets tough, remember, God's personal. Look at number two. Wherever you stand is holy ground. I know there's that hymn we sing, we are standing on holy ground. And sometimes we think, oh, well, that's just at the church. And I'll be the first to tell you, there are times you know you're in the right place at the right time. Being on the hill, I get that feeling. But understand something. The true picture and the true reality is wherever God's people stand, it's holy ground. Why? Because he's come in and he saved us. He's cleansed us. He's made us holy. It's his righteousness that he sees. It's his righteousness that he gives us. So that means wherever you go, that's why we say, hey, wherever you go, share Jesus. You say, well, can you do that anywhere? Absolutely. Why? Because everywhere you stand, you're standing on holy ground. Verse 33, look at it. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. In other words, God said, right where you are, I'm going to do a work. Now think about that. Where has God placed you? We go through all kinds of things during a week. We go to all different types of places. Wherever God has placed you is holy ground. And that's where he has chosen to do a work through you. How many times have you heard testimony after testimony of being in strange places like a hospital room and you're sick and you really don't understand why you're going through it, and yet God uses that circumstance to minister to someone that comes into that hospital room? David and Lauren have already shared about that. Every time I go visit somebody in the hospital, I love it when a nurse walks in. I get to embarrass the person that's laying in the bed, number one. I've done that pretty well, haven't I? And number two, you get to share with those, and they get to understand something that, hey, God is personal, and Christians aren't all stuck up and bad, right? Wherever you're standing, God's choosing to work at that place at that time. Do you acknowledge that? Do you ever think about that? Do you stop and say, hey, I've been put here for a reason. I'm here because God chose me to be here. And because of that, I know I have significance. Because of that, I know that God is going to do something. And because of that, I need to pay attention. Wherever you are is holy ground. Now, some of you would love to be at the holy ground called the beach more often. Amen? Some of you would love to be at the holy ground called the mountains more often, right? But listen to me. I pray that God builds us up to a point inside, personally, that wherever we go, we understand, hey, we're on mission. And wherever we go, we're standing on holy ground. Stephen was just simply helping to take care of the widows. Now think about that. He was doing something that was not considered by those around him to be this glorious task. Isn't it ironic that throughout the entire Bible, it's always those tasks that man says are not glorious that God makes glorious? And here he is doing his job, and God says, I've got something for you. I've got something that's going to blow your mind. Now, you can look at this and say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Tim, he died. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So he didn't lose anything. He fulfilled his mission. He was done. That's what God had called him to do. He understood that. Look at number three. We often think when things are going rough, we think, you know, God's shutting down the message of Jesus Christ. I couldn't talk much, so I read a whole lot. And after what had happened this week, I just started reading comments on different articles and different Facebook posts, because you get to learn how people think. Now, I don't take it personal, so I don't get mad and I don't throw the iPod and all that. But I was just reading to see what was happening. You know what I discovered? Even in the midst of a horrible situation, even in the midst of enormous attacks, there were still those that God used to just simply share Jesus. Because it doesn't matter what happens, nothing can kill the message of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how ugly evil gets. Nothing can kill the message of Jesus Christ. You say, well, oh, wait a minute. Satan's going to shut down and nobody's going to be able to tell people about Jesus. The gospel spread in governments that were anti-Jesus. Didn't shut them down, did it? Nothing can kill that message. Look what happened to Stephen, verse 52. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? Those that were about to take him out, Stephen is actually just simply reminding them of history. They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. In other words, he just said, hey, Jesus came and you put him on a cross. You killed him. Verse 53, you have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but you've not obeyed it. Verse 54, when they heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. The dogs came out. Now think about that. Why were they so upset? Because he just simply spoke the truth. They thought that in all of what they were doing with him, that he would stop sharing the message. But listen, you can't kill the message of Jesus Christ. You can't outlaw it. You can't hide it. You can't stop it. You can't negate it. You can't change it. It's protected by God himself, because God became man, took on the form of a servant, and did what? Paid the price for you and me. You can't kill that message. They're upset. Can you imagine having people gnashing their teeth at you? But Stephen, you need to underline those two words. But Stephen, and then circle this next phrase, full of what? Listen, I keep telling you this. Some of you are still a little bit nervous about the Holy Spirit. You're afraid he's going to make you jump a chair. You need to get over that fear. We just sang a song, we're not a slave to fear, right? The reason you're nervous about the Holy Spirit is because man has corrupted the message of the Holy Spirit and the whole understanding of the theology behind the Holy Spirit, because Satan doesn't want you to understand who lives inside of you. Because when you understand who lives inside of you and you no longer have a fear of the Holy Spirit, you will start walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Some of you are like, well, wait a minute. I'm not going to be talking about my Toyotas and my Hondas. What am I going to do? You're going to know how to answer. You're going to know how to stay the course. You're going to know how to keep moving forward. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, what did he do? He looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. Remember I told you last week When he did that, it's the next phrase, and he saw Jesus what? Standing. He wasn't sitting there arguing his case. He had told them what they'd been through. He told them the history. He let them understand what they were really doing. And he didn't say, but this isn't fair. He didn't say, God, come on now, get me out of this. Full of the Holy Spirit, he understood what God was doing. And he was willing to allow God to be God. And at that point, he sees Jesus standing. He says, he's standing at the right hand. And at this, verse 57, they covered their ears. Now think about it. They were gnashing their teeth. They were really upset. Now they're covering their ears. Now they're yelling at the top of their voices. And they rush him. A mob attack. What did they do? Verse 58. They dragged him out of the city. And they began to stone him. You ever been hit with a rock? You know, there's a lot of things that hurt in life, like shots. When I was seeing the nurse practitioner, I said, listen, I don't care what my insurance says. If what you're going to prescribe is a shot, I'll pay you to find a pill for it. I don't like needles. Needles hurt. But you know what really hurts? Have you ever been mowing the yard and hit a rock and it hits you in the leg? It stings, doesn't it? It's a unique kind of hurt. Can you imagine, here's Stephen being laid out. He's drug out of the city. This is the way they did it. And literally, this is not figuratively, this is not just Bible speak, this was literal. They were taking stones and they were not just dropping them on him, they were throwing them on him. To stone somebody is the second worst type of death next to the cross. Now think about that. You don't want to be stoned, amen? You don't want that to happen. They are literally stoning him. And the witnesses take off their clothes and lay their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they're stoning him, Stephen prays, and watch what he prays. This is incredible. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That simple. Just a simple prayer. Didn't ask for him to stop. Didn't say, take the pain away. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, watch this. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said that, he died. Think about it. You want to talk about holding on to Jesus in a difficult time? Here he is. All he was doing was taking care of the widows. That's all he was doing. And they got upset. And he goes through this entire ordeal and all the way to the end, even the point of death, he's wanting the will of God to take place in their lives. Listen. Some of us are so in love with ourselves, we don't care about anybody else. Think about that. We're more concerned about our comfort than somebody else accepting Jesus. We worry more about what we're having to endure instead of somebody going to hell. And yet here is Stephen holding true, holding on all the way to the end. I'm going to give you the fourth thing, and it's going to back us up a few verses. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 51. Now, he makes a statement that every Christian thinks they would love to say, but he points out something about the people who were stoning him that you and I need to understand. You stiff-necked people, do not turn to anybody around you and call them stiff-necked. All right? You stiff-necked people with hard ears, you are just like your fathers. Watch the next phrase. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that one of the most dangerous things that we do as Christians is resist the Holy Spirit? That's why we need to remember, number five, our religious rituals are no substitute for Jesus-filled worship. You should have shouted on that one. All of our hoopla about how we believe and how we like stuff, it's not what gets you through the tough times. It's the Holy Spirit that gets you through the tough times. It's Jesus living inside of you that gets you through the tough times. And the only way that you can cling to that is to have that understanding. Hey, I've got to praise and adore. I've got to obey. I've got to hang out with Jesus. I've got to pay attention to the Holy Spirit inside of me. Why? Because this other group, they were religious and they resisted the Holy Spirit. I got to thinking this week. I wonder how many generations we've done a disservice to because we don't teach and just reinforce listening to the Holy Spirit. We like to give those lists of what to do and how to do it. We like to talk about all this other stuff, but what about how to hang on to Jesus? Stephen made a contrast, and he didn't brag on himself. He just simply pointed out, hey, you're going to take me out. You're going to kill me. Your fathers have done that throughout history. And they did it because they resisted the Holy Spirit. How do you hold on to Jesus? How do you hold on to God when things get tough? Look at it. It's real simple. Remember, he's personal. Remember, you're standing on holy ground. Remember, you can't kill the message. Remember, do not resist the Holy Spirit. Remember, don't cling to your religious rituals. Why? Because they can't replace what it means to just hang out with Jesus.